Our scripture verse this morning is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
With that scripture being read, I could sit down, but I won't. You know me. Turn to Psalms 100. In everything give thanks, not some things, not only the good things, but it says in everything give thanks. Psalms 100 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise, and be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. I believe with all of my heart that we are a people and a nation that has been truly blessed by God. I believe that all those that give praise to God and thank God for the blessings that they receive, we should be at the top of the list. Why? Because we are His people. We have the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We've been obedient to His word, and hopefully we are striving daily in our lives to be faithful to Him. And realizing the blessings that we have through that salvation should make us the happiest people on the face of the earth. I'm convinced that many times we make lists. At this time of the year, you like to see the catalog because you want to make your Christmas wish list. You make a list of things that you would like, things that you want, things that you think you may need. In some cases, you may need them. And then after that holiday goes by, Christmas, you see another list that people began to compile. And that's a list of New Year's resolutions. But on Thanksgiving Day, we don't make too many lists. And the days before Thanksgiving, we don't make too many lists. The fact is, we should make a list every day of all the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. God has been so very good to us. And I'm sure that if you made a list, your list would be much like mine. I would be thankful for life. I'd be thankful for my family. I would be thankful for the health that I have, the friends, the nation that I live in. But on top of that, I would be also thankful for my salvation. I would be thankful for the family that we have here at Ridge Road. I would be thankful for the love and mercy that God extends to me every day of my life. But has it ever occurred to you that there were no Americans that has been to this country that was more underprivileged than those that came across in the Mayflower? When they arrived upon the shores of this great land, they had no houses. There was no government agency to help them build their houses. There was no means of transportation except for their legs. Their only food came from the sea or from the forest. They didn't get that, and they had to get it for themselves. They had no money. And if they did have money, there was no place to spend it. They had no entertainment except for the entertainment that they made for themselves. They had no means of communication. They had no way of sending letters back home. From the place that they came from, they had no Social Security. They had no Medicare. All they had was what they brought with them. And I would imagine that if you said that they were underprivileged and they heard it, that you probably would have been put in the stocks. Because when they looked at themselves, I'm sure that they did not look at themselves as underprivileged. But they did have four of the greatest human assets. They had initiative. They had courage. They had a willingness to work. And they have had a boundless faith in God. Our forefathers had a boundless faith in God. When you hear those words, it seems kind of strange in the nation that we live in today. Because it doesn't seem that we have a boundless faith in God. When I read articles about valedictorians that will not receive their diplomas because they mentioned the name of Christ in their speech, their microphone was shut off because they mentioned the name of God. And I see leaders of our nation that are made fun of because they pray to God. And we see other abuses that people have to endure because of their faith in God, and the ridicule that Christians go through on a daily basis when you turn on your television set. It seems strange to hear that others had a boundless faith in God. Our hallowed Declaration of Independence says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights." And as it in, and at the end of it, it ends with these words, "With a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." In our bulletin, I published a proclamation that George Washington made in 1789. Time will not permit me to read that. But I hopefully you will take that home and you get your bulletin today and you will read that proclamation. And I want you to notice the strong and absolute acknowledgement of the fact that God is needed in our society. And the fact that our nation is dependent upon Him. Thursday, our nation pauses to give thanks. And I've mentioned in the past few weeks that it's a holiday that seems to be forgotten. As we realize that there's not just one day that we should be thankful, but every day that we need to be thankful. But our society, it seems, it goes from one give me holiday to another give me holiday, from Halloween to Christmas. And we forget that as a nation we need to pause and be thankful for all the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. Because we are an extremely blessed people. And you would think that as an extremely blessed people or nation, that we would be thankful for what God has given to us. But I believe that we can see that it's just the opposite, isn't it? The more we get, the less thankful we are. The more we get, the more we forget about where those things come from. The more that we get, the more we forget who those things belong to. In fact, our prosperity has caused us to lose our purpose. Plenty is so ingrained within us that we no longer treat our possessions as if they belong to God. Possessions as entitlements, things that are owed us, things that we deserve. And when we look at our material things, it's easy to forget about God. And when we lose those possessions, it's somehow God's fault. But we need to realize that materialism is a sin. And even though the world and sometimes we in the church may not look at it as a sin because we want to get as much as we possibly can, we need to remember the story or the event that took place in the life of Christ. In Matthew the 19th chapter, a young man came to Jesus and he said, "What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Beginning in verse 20 it says, "And the young man said unto him, All of these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" Jesus told him to keep the commandments. That's what Jesus said he had to do. And he said, "Oh, I've done all of those things." And some of the things that were mentioned, specifically, he said, "I've done those." But listen to what Jesus said unto him in verse 21. "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come and follow me. But when the young man heard this saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then says unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Here we have our young man who was wealthy, and Jesus says, Go and sell what you have and give it to the poor. And he went away sorrowful. He was sad at what he heard that he needed to do. And we look at this individual, and it's easy for us to say, Well, you can see where his heart was at. But I ask you, how many of us, if we were told the same thing by our Lord today, would go away sorrowful? Or how many of us would gladly sell it and give it to the poor and follow after Jesus? Oh, it's easy to look at someone else and say what's wrong with them. But it's difficult to look in the mirror and say what's wrong with the person that's looking back at us. You see, the rich people have a difficult time. Why? They have a difficult time because they forget where blessings come from. I read somewhere the other day, or heard somewhere the other day, that if you have $700 a month coming in Social Security, you should move to the Philippines. Because there you can buy a house, you can have a maid, you can have a vehicle, and you still have plenty of money to spend. How many of us have more than $700 a month? We're a rich nation. We're rich people. We shouldn't forget God. And I think that that's partly why the Psalms 100 was written. To deal with that attitude, to remind us that we need to be thankful, and to maintain an attitude of gratitude toward God. The 100th Psalm, I believe, was written, or I know it was written, for the people of Israel. God wanted them to remember Him. He wanted them that when they went into the promised land and they settled down in their houses and they were eating their food, the plenty that He had provided for them, to not forget Him. He wanted them to remember that He was the one that led them out of the wilderness, that it was Him that provided them the loaf with milk and honey. But it didn't take long for them to realize that they needed a reminder. We need a reminder too. All of us need a reminder of how blessed we are. Maybe God had us in mind when He wrote the 100th Psalm. Did you notice to who it's addressed? All ye lands, all nations, everybody. It wasn't just specifically to the children of Israel, but all ye lands, all nations, all the earth need to be reminded where those blessings come from and who God is. And then when you go down to the last verse, verse 5 of chapter 100, it says, His truth endureth to all generations. This is a reminder for all people. It's a truth that we find in the book of Psalms, a truth that is still true today, a truth that we need to hear, and a truth that we need to meditate upon, and a truth that we need to plant in our heart so that we can thrive on that message every day of our life. It's sad, I've mentioned this before, that there's only two nations that have a day of Thanksgiving, a national day of Thanksgiving that I know of, and that's Canada and the Philippines. And of course, our great country that we live in. But I think it's also sad that there's a real danger that we determine our Thanksgiving on the amount of blessings that we have. Do we have enough turkey to stuff our face sufficiently with? Is our money safe in the bank? Is our possessions secure? Am I healthy? And I want us to all realize that if we let those things determine whether or not we're thankful, then there's something wrong. Because I believe that that's why Job could say the things that he said. The Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, because his faith in God, his thanksgiving was the fact that he had a relationship with God. It wasn't in the fact that all those blessings that he had made him so thankful to God. He had a relationship with God before and he had a relationship after he lost all of those things. And that's what makes Job stand out so much in our minds today. You see, we read in the Bible that our possessions can be rotted away, can be stolen, can be burned up. But that relationship that we have with God, no one can take that away. That's the blessings that we have, a relationship with God. Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Our daily lives should be a joyful response to God. Jesus said that we are the light of the world. People should be able to look at us and see the joy in our heart. They should see that we're happy. That's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be happy. But too many times we base that happiness on what we have. We look at our neighbors and we see what they have, and if they have something that we don't and we want it, we're miserable. We look across the aisle. If one of our brothers and sisters in Christ has something that we don't, we're not real happy about it. Why can't we have it? Why doesn't the Lord ever shine on me like that? Sometimes it's difficult to rejoice with those boys. It's easier to weep with those that weep. Sometimes it's hard to rejoice when you see someone else prosper, but that's what we're supposed to do. There was a missionary that told this story, that he was a medical missionary for many years in India. And he served in an area where progressive blindness was a major problem. People were born with good, healthy eyesight. But as they matured, they began to lose their eyesight, and eventually they would be blind. And this medical missionary had developed a procedure where he could do something, whatever he did, that would stop that progressive blindness in its steps, or where it was at. That it wouldn't proceed to get any worse. And when he would do that procedure on these individuals, people would come and have him do it. And he did it, and he did it, and he kept on doing it. But one of the things that he said was that in their dialect, no one ever said thank you, because that word was not in their dialect. But what they did say, they had a word that said, I will tell your name. And everywhere they went, they told about what this missionary had done. They told his name, and others would come and they would hear it. Why? Why did they do that? Because they were happy. They have joy in their heart that they weren't going to go blind. Brethren, we have the greatest news in the world. And we should be telling the name of God, the name of Christ, wherever we go. Why? Because of what he has done for you and me. We were blind. We were dead, but now we're alive, and now we can see. How many of us do it? How many of us go out and tell anybody else? Oh, we're afraid that someone's not going to like us if we say something. If we talk about God, well, they won't want to hang around us. They won't want to associate with us. You think those individuals that received their eyesight cared what others said when they mentioned the name of that missionary? I doubt it. What has God done for you? What has He done in your life? What has that relationship done for you that you have with God? And is it worth telling others about? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's what the psalm is telling us. We realize that God has been so good to us that we can't keep it inside. And if we can keep it inside, maybe we need to examine our heart and ask ourselves, why can we keep the greatest news in the world a secret? Gladly serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness, as it says in verse 2. The Bible teaches us that we are to serve God not because we have to, but because we do it out of a love that we have for God. We're motivated to do right because it is right, because we love the Lord and we want to please Him. And when we serve with gladness, we're going to be about doing the things that God wants us to do, and we're not going to be mumbling, grumbling, stomping our feet and pouting as we go. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 40, Jesus teaches us that we are serving Him when we feed those that are hungry, when we clothe those that are naked, when we do the work of the Lord. Listen to what those verses say. Then say to them on the right hand, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For ye was hungry and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in. Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick and in prison and came unto thee?" Listen to what Jesus says in verse 40. Then Jesus says, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." When I'm doing it to others, when I'm serving others, when I'm feeding the hunger, when I'm taking care of those that are thirsty, when I'm putting clothes on people's back, when I'm visiting the sick, when I'm visiting those that are in prison, when I'm doing all these good things, if I'm doing it for the right reason, then I'm doing it unto the Lord. And I believe that that's a concept that's difficult for us to understand. I'm not sure we really grasp it. Because sometimes we serve out of obligation. Serve because we feel we have to. Sometimes we serve because we feel guilty if we don't do it. And sometimes we do it to please someone else, or maybe to please ourselves, because we want someone to appreciate what we've done or what we are doing. How many of us serve the Lord with gladness? In whatever you do, serve the Lord with gladness. Put a smile on your face as you're out doing it. Let them see the joy that you have in helping others. Let them see what a merry heart can do. Don't be frowning. Don't be stomping and dredging, and don't be murmuring and complaining, as the Bible tells us that we should not be doing, murmuring and complaining. Be thankful for what God allowed us to do and given you the opportunity to serve. You glorify His name. The third command says, "Come before His presence with singing. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." You know, some translations of this passage says, "Shout, shout those praises." Why? Why should people hear us talk about how great God is? Why? Because He is, and He should put that song in our heart. I want you to take a moment. Look at the person next to you. How many of them smiled? For some, that's probably the first time you smiled in a while. Psalmist says, "Come before Him and serve Him and sing His praise with joy in your heart." I'm convinced that some of us don't have that joy in our heart. We don't have that song because we don't really have the relationship that we could have with God. And we need to let people see that joy that we have. Oh, that doesn't mean that we have to be like lunatics or people think we're crazy all the time. But I'll tell you what, if you're smiling all the time, they will think you're crazy. They think we're crazy anyways because we're a Christian. If you don't believe that, watch TV, watch the news. Some of the things that people say about Christians. There's something wrong with us. We should be the happiest people in the world. In everything, give thanks. When you start looking at your blessings, it'll put a smile on your face. It's when we start dwelling on the bad things in our life, the things that we don't want, that we start to get sad, start to get gloomy. But the Lord wants us to remember who that relationship is with that we have. Sometimes we sit with scowls on our faces because we've forgotten the joy that should be in our heart. Verse 3, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Remember that God is the Lord. Remember it's God that created you, and not you creating God. You know, if we could create God, we talked about this a little bit on Wednesday night. If we could create God, we would have the God that we wanted. I said then that if I could create God, one that agreed with everything that I said, liked everything that I liked, disliked everything that I didn't like. Why? Because then I could have a God that I'd be pleased with. But that's not the way we can make God. God is already made. God is already there. And God created us. And we have no choice but to serve Him. We can serve Him or we can reject Him. That's the choice we have. We have the choice of being a child of God or rejecting the salvation that He offers to us. And that's up to you or I as to whether or not we want to be obedient. But He is God. He created us. And we cannot create Him. Oh, people try it. People do it. Sometimes people shop around until they find a church that they like that teaches what they want. We need to look into the Bible and see if the Bible is being taught, if the truth of God's Word is being taught. Why? Because God is God and He's given us His Word and His Word is truth. And we need to listen to those words. But sometimes we forget that God created us and that He is in charge. Adam and Eve forgot that in the Garden of Eden. When God told them not to eat of the fruit, they went ahead and ate of that forbidden fruit, and it cost them that paradise home that they had there in the Garden of Eden. We don't see God, so it's easy to forget God. I suppose that that's why a lot of people want to erect idols, so that they'll have something that they can see. But the God of the Bible isn't an idol. He's not something that can be made with hands. And because we cannot see Him, does not mean that He can't see us. And it doesn't mean that we need to forget about Him. Listen to what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. He says, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing ye rejoice with all joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. We can't see God. But as God's people, we still love God. Why? Because we can see Him through Scripture. God doesn't want us to have a blind faith. He's given us things that teach us and proves things. So although I may not physically be able to see Him, I know He exists. And I love Him because of who He is. And I believe in Him because of what we see from Scripture and what we know He can do in this life. We are His sheep. The sheep of His pasture. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus gave his life for us. He did it for all mankind, but only those that are obedient to the conditions that he's put forth will have salvation. And we can consider ourselves his sheep, but he laid down his life for us. It goes on in verse 14. It says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. God knows who his sheep are, and the sheep know who God is. That's why the psalmist, in Psalms the 23rd chapter, the Lord is my shepherd. Sometimes we think that we're in charge. Sometimes we think that we're like God. We need to never forget that God is in charge of this universe. And it will end when God says it will end, not when you or I decides it, or some president or someone else decides to push a button and all these nuclear devices start going off. It will end when God says it will end. God is still in control. We are his sheep, and he is our shepherd. Here's a man that came to Jesus, and he heard that they were debating. And he noticed that Jesus had given good answers to those that were debating him. And he asked a question in Mark chapter 12 and verse 29, or 28. It says, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Why would that be the first commandment? To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Why? Because if you love the God with or love God with every ounce of your being, then all the other commandments will be simple. You will want to do what he tells us to do. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If we love the Lord, we're going to keep his commandments. And if we love the Lord, when we look at those commandments, we're not going to be grieved by those commands. They're not going to seem as something that's too difficult. Something that's going to make us miserable. But they're there to help us to be what God wants us to be. Verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And be thankful unto him and bless his name. In the Old Testament, the temple symbolized the presence of God. So whenever people came to the temple and entered into the courtyards, they knew that they had come into the presence of God. That's no longer true. The temple no longer exists. But God is everywhere. You know that, and I know that. He's with you when you drive down the road. He's with you when you're at work. He's with you when you're at school. He's with you when you take care of your children. He's with you in every moment of your life. And isn't that a source of thanksgiving? To know that God is always with us. But I wonder what would happen if God began to treat us like we treat him. If God met our needs to the same extent that we give him our lives. What if we never saw another flower bloom because we grumbled when God sent rain? What if God stopped loving and caring for us because we failed to love and care for others? What if God took away his message because we wouldn't listen to What if God wouldn't bless us today because we didn't thank Him yesterday. What if God answered our prayers the way we answer His call to service? What if God decided to stop leading us tomorrow because we stopped following Him today? Psalms 103 and verse 10. O Lord, help us to be thankful to You that You not treat our sins as we deserve to be treated. We're thankful that He doesn't do to us the way we deserve to be done to. We need to do all to bless His name. How do we do that? Do what these scriptures just taught us to do. Lift our voices in praise to God. Serve Him with gladness. He is God, that He is in control. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Come to worship with a joyful heart, to lift our voices in songs of praise, because we have a relationship with God. Verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good. He is so good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Know that His love and faithfulness will never end." Thursday, our nation will pause, hopefully, to give thanks. As Christians, we need to be thankful every day. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth to all generations. Jesus died that you might have eternal life. Morning, you can become a child of God. Put your faith in God. Repent of your sins, confess His name before men, and be buried with Him in baptism. As Christians, we always need to be thankful. And I believe if we did look at all the things that God has done for us, we would have a smile on our face, because we would have joy in our heart, and people would see that in our lives. We are the light of the world. Our body's the only thing that we have to let that light shine through. Our actions, our words. So people need to see that light in our life. Have they seen that light in your life? Perhaps you need to repent of sin that's in your life. If you do, we invite you to come and have a seat up here on the front row while together we stand and sing.